Are you aware that you have a love language? Some of you would know about that. I wonder what your love language is. Gary Chapman suggests that there are five love languages and that we all speak at least one. We might speak a couple, but one more predominantly than the other. We love to express and receive love through either words of affection, through spending quality time with others, through acts of service, giving of gifts, or through physical touch. So the obvious takeaway is that we should try to express our love to others in the way that they would best receive it. Trouble is trying to work out their love language and then trying to express love to them in that language. But we should also be aware that others may not express their love for us in the way that we would like to receive it. In recent weeks, we've been considering some of the meals that Jesus has been attending, or he did attend. And today we're going to see someone express their love for the Lord in and through their love language. And early on in Jesus' ministry, a very similar event occurs. And we considered this 3 weeks ago. On that occasion, Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to his place for a meal, and a woman of ill repute, a woman of the street, came into their gathering. She cried all over Jesus' feet. She dried them with her hair. She poured expensive perfume all over his feet. And in that particular instance, we see or we read of two people, the woman of ill repute and Simon the Pharisee, both of which were spiritually bankrupt, both in need of a saviour, but two with very differing actions and attitudes toward Jesus. Today we read a very similar occurrence. Another event. It's not the same event. But Jesus is once again sharing a meal with friends. This time it's in Bethany, and this time another Simon, but not Simon the Pharisee, Simon the leper. And Jesus had obviously healed this man at some point. Otherwise, Simon the leper wouldn't have been able to invite them to his place for dinner. But this significant event, it's recorded by Matthew, Mark and John. Luke doesn't record this story, but it highlights the extravagant devotion of one woman expressing her love for Jesus just 2 days before Jesus' crucifixion. If you read John's account, you'll see just before what the reading that we've had today mentions that it's 2 days to the Passover. And John tells us that this dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha is there. She's doing what she does best. This is in John's account. She's serving. Her love language is acts of service. And she best expresses her love through those acts of service. Simon the leper has agreed or arranged for this meal. He's invited a number of people there for the primary purpose of honouring Jesus. This dinner is given in Jesus' honour. We too have come here this morning to honour Jesus. You haven't primarily come here for any other reason than that, but to honour Jesus. We've spent time reflecting on Jesus' sacrifice. We've shared in communion. We've sung songs reflecting our gratitude and our acknowledgement that Jesus is our Saviour. We haven't come primarily to socialise with others, although that's a benefit. We've come to honour Jesus. We are so grateful for who Jesus is and what he's done for us, for his love and his sacrifice. We've come to honour the God of our salvation. I trust that's why you're here this morning, to honour Jesus. Now, this dinner was probably not too many months after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And so Lazarus is also present. It's only John who tells us in his account that Mary is the one who anoints Jesus' feet. John gives her a name. This is Mary. This is not a woman of the street, but Mary who sat peacefully at Jesus' feet against all cultural convention and expectation from her sister. It is Mary who again is not serving as were the other women, but daring to break with custom and publicly come in and show her devotion to Jesus. And when you love someone, when you really love someone, then nothing seems too great a gift to give to them if your love language is in gift giving. Nothing is too great. Verses 6 and 7. While Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. Mary doesn't hold back. She pours the contents of that alabaster jar all over Jesus, beginning at his feet, and John says, she pours it on his head and then down to his feet. She doesn't just pour on a little bit and then just whack the cork back in the top of that bottle. She pours it on Jesus' head, on his feet, wipes his feet with her hair as well. Imagine the overpowering scent within that room. A whole bottle of perfume. Whoosh. If you had trouble with asthma or something, you mightn't have stayed in that room. But both Mark and John tell us that the value of this expensive perfume was worth a whole year's wage for a labourer, 300 denarii. In today's terms, in Australia today, the average wage for a labourer is $65,000. Would you spend $65,000 on a bottle of perfume? No, I doubt it. I don't know where you'd find such an expensive bottle, but if you could, would you then pour that whole bottle of $65,000 bottle of perfume on somebody else? I doubt it again. Have you ever wondered what this perfume represented for Mary? Was it an important personal treasure that she'd worked for years to purchase? Or was it a family treasure that had been handed down? Or was it her dowry given for her marriage? We don't know. But we do know that she gave it freely in worship of Jesus to honour him. Nothing was too much for Mary. Now, Mary is only mentioned three times in the Gospels, and each time we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. She sat at his feet and she listened to his teaching. Got in trouble with her sister Martha, but there she was at Jesus' feet, being blessed by his teaching. She fell at Jesus' feet when she learnt that Jesus had returned upon the death of her brother Lazarus. She fell at his feet. And here she worships at his feet and anoints him. And so at Jesus' feet, Mary found blessing as he taught. She was able to lay her burdens at Jesus' feet upon Lazarus' death, and here she worships and declares her love and devotion. For you and for me, we too find blessing at Jesus' feet. We lay our burdens at his feet. We worship him at his feet. At Jesus' feet, what is best will not be taken away from us. bowing humbly at Jesus' feet. And appreciated the way that Joe commenced our service this morning, beginning with those words from Lamentations. The Lord is so good to those who put their hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly on the Lord. And they're words that reflect the words of Isaiah 40. Very familiar passage. Those beautiful words that God will strengthen the weary and increase the power of the weak. It is for those who wait upon the Lord. He will renew their strength and they will soar on wings like eagles. Waiting upon the Lord, bowing at his feet, should leave us in a place where we are soaring like eagles. Do you feel like an eagle? Years ago, I sang as part of an 80-voice choir at the very first regional performance of the Jerusalem Passion. I don't know how many of you recall the Jerusalem Passion. But it was a wonderful oratorio that sang with, had song and narration. There was a full-piece orchestra. There was electric guitars, drum kit. It was a combination of all orchestra and rock band, if you like, although it wasn't rock. But it spoke of Jesus' life and ministry and then his death and resurrection. It was a wonderful musical, oratorio. And there was a song that was included in that oratorio that asked, "Where are the eagles?" Again, do you feel like an eagle? Soaring like an eagle over life's troubles. Or do the worries and the anxieties that you face cause you to just drift from Jesus' feet? Are you remaining at his feet? Where are the eagles? For those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength and they will soar on wings like eagles. You and I are meant to be eagles as we wait upon the Lord. Mary at Jesus' feet felt like an eagle. At this dinner that was given in Jesus' honour, Simon the leper, he wanted to say thank you to Jesus for healing him. Lazarus also sought to honour Jesus for giving him a second chance at life here on earth to care for his sisters. Martha was honouring Jesus through her service. And Mary took the opportunity to honour Jesus with an extravagant show of devotion. Why? Because he had raised her brother back to life. And she could have sung the words of that last song that we just sang. Powerful, powerful. Your glory fills the skies, your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakens my heart to sing. How wonderful, how marvellous you are. For Mary, there was no doubt in her mind that Jesus was the Messiah. He was who he said he was. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He'd brought her brother back to life. He was the bread of life. He was the good shepherd. He was the Son of God. He's the Messiah. She saw Jesus as the Messiah. We too are encouraged to bow before Jesus, to kneel at his feet, where we too may lay our burdens, find blessing, and worship him. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the one to whom we should give our best in love and devotion. He deserves all the glory, all the honour, all the praise. No one else. But not everyone will understand or appreciate our demonstrations of love. Verse 8. When the disciples saw this, saw what Mary was doing, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." In Matthew's account, remember, he's one of the disciples. He's writing this gospel. He identifies himself as one of those who was indignant, who challenged Mary's poor stewardship by saying, "Why this waste, Mary?" John reveals that it was Judas who said, "Why wasn't this sold and the money given to the poor?" John also knew that Judas was a thief and he had his hand in the money bag. He was the one who looked after the finances. He had his hand in the money bag. And so he's not really concerned about the poor. He's only concerned about the opportunity to line his own pocket. But collectively, the disciples are very quick to question Mary's action because they all knew this is extremely expensive perfume. What a waste. If you read Mark's account, he says that the disciples rebuked Mary harshly. Remember, Jesus is sitting there. This act of devotion toward Jesus. And the disciples, in front of Jesus, harshly rebuke Mary, get stuck into her. They're shocked, they're appalled by such a waste of so much money. Money doesn't, as we all know, money doesn't come easily. And it's what we use to purchase our wants and needs. Money's so easily wasted. We may risk not being able to afford the things that we need. The cost of living crisis is biting some very hard. Why waste money? But money was not Mary's focus. She wanted to honour Jesus. End of story. It's never a waste to give Jesus your very, very best. Never a waste to give him your best. But again, be aware that not everyone will understand or appreciate your demonstration of love. And be careful too not to judge others who seek to honour the Lord in ways that perhaps you don't understand. You may not understand or appreciate what someone else does in their attempt to honour the Lord because their love language is different to yours. The way they express their love and devotion may not be yours. And so Jesus, aware of their complaints and the way that they're treating Mary and the probability that they would continue to ridicule her from this point on, he said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman?" Verses 10 through to 13. "She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Jesus said that the poor will always be with you. There will always be those who are in need. You will always have an opportunity to bless the poor. But he also reminds the boys, the disciples, that he wouldn't be with them much longer and that Mary had anointed his body for burial. You see, the embalming, the anointing process always took place after death, but not in this case. As you're well aware, when the women went to the tomb to embalm and anoint him, he's not there. But his body was appropriately prepared for burial before and this process was unnecessary. For Jesus would rise again. Mary anoints his living body before his death. Just 2 days before his death. And this came from the same place of love and devotion as for all of us. Now, when we lose someone, we pick expensive coffins and we shower them with flowers at the death of a loved one. It comes from a heart overflowing with love and grief. It's a last chance to express our love and devotion. This is Mary's motivation. A heart overflowing with love. She may not have known that she was preparing Jesus' body for burial, but she did seek to express her utmost love for the Lord, the Messiah. And because of this, Mary's gift to the Lord is still remembered today. But Mary didn't do it so that she'd be remembered. She did it to honour Jesus. And as I was meditating on this passage, I thought of another woman who was publicly praised for her act of extravagant devotion. In that instance, Jesus and the disciples were in the temple courts, and the wealthy were also there. They were bringing their money into the temple courts to put it into the offering chute. And there was a large crowd that were appreciating the gifts. In fact, you could hear the money being poured in. And they were being appreciated for their gifts. And Jesus took note of a widow as she placed her 2 5-cent pieces. Tick, tick. And Jesus elevates her meagre gift above all of the others. Why? Because it represented all that she had to live on. And it represented her love for God and her commitment to him. So let's be extravagant in our worship and our devotion to the Lord, no matter what that might look like. For Mary, that meant the equivalent of a year's wages, and to some it may have appeared a complete and utter waste of money. But whatever you do, in an attempt to honour Jesus, it's not wasted. In fact, honouring him is the very best thing that you can ever do. So what's your primary love language? How can you use that to honour Jesus? Your love language is not just for you, to enjoy being loved, but how can you use that love gift to honour Jesus, to love your neighbour, your work colleague, your school friend? Through words of affirmation, spending quality time with others, through acts of service, giving of gifts, or through appropriate physical touch. God has gifted you, God has shaped you, he has written your love language in order that you may bless and honour him and love your neighbour. So let's be extravagant in our worship, our devotion to the Lord. Let's do what Mary did, pour out that alabaster jar of perfume. Let's pour out our lives in ways of love to express our worship of God.